Happy Monday to you, and welcome back to the DriveCast. I'm Dean, the lead pastor at LifePoint, and I do the majority of teaching at the Lewis Center campus. Great to have you back with us as you begin your week in week number two of this series called Forgiven. And the N is really important at the end of that word in the title, because as we are forgiven people, that's what gives us the capacity to forgive others. The way we're saying it each week is that forgiveness becomes possible when forgiveness becomes personal. One of the things that we talked about this week is that this passage, Matthew 18, the chapter, comes out of this question where the disciples ask Jesus, who's the greatest in the kingdom? Like, who is the, we would say the goat, right? Who is the goat of the kingdom? And Jesus grabs a child. And, you know, children were discarded in so many ways in the ancient world. But Jesus is appealing to childlike humility, which for us helps us understand how, you know, pride keeps score, but humility tears up the ledger, right? So all of a sudden things start to happen. There's identification that happens there. There's understanding. There's this reality that, you know, the king's grace that we talked about last week really becomes the forgiveness foundation when we realize that we have been forgiven for, you know, 10,000 talents in weight. It becomes so much easier for us to forgive. But what we learned this week is that, you know, this satrap, this king that that the ultimate king, you know, I said was an appeal to Caesar, you know, that he forgave this massive debt for this satrap, this vassal king last week. The vassal king turns around and goes out and finds someone who owes him comparatively nothing, 300 denarii versus 60 million, you know, that he was forgiven for. But instead of giving away the forgiveness that he had received, he chose to try and execute a form of justice. So one of the things we said on Sunday is that our struggle is that we are heavyweight sinners and featherweight forgivers. This, you know, satrap leader, when this man who owes him 300 denarii, this small debt in comparison, comes to him, you know, he chokes him, and the fellow says, "Hey, have patience with me and I will pay you." These are the exact same words, by the way, that this guy had used with the king last week. And so we struggle to forgive others because we become disconnected from the grace of the king's forgiveness foundation. There's this desire that we have for perceived justice. But I'll just say, you know, justice, it's really hard to understand our motivation for justice or even perceived justice until we forgive. Because it's just easy to confuse justice and vengeance in our lives. You know, they had the law of the 12 tables in Rome, which kind of was an explainer for them about how to execute justice. So in reality, this is the difficult thing. Like, this satrap, he was technically right to hold this guy who owes him, you know, 300 denarii, a much smaller debt. He was technically right that he could hold him to account. But I think we would all say that, you know, technically he's doing nothing wrong. Spiritually, he's doing everything wrong, right? So you can be technically right and personally wrong. And you think about that, like, have you ever won an argument but lost a relationship? And this dichotomy that we say, well, listen, if I forgive somebody, I have to give up on justice, it's just not true. I would make the argument that I'm not even sure we know if we're fighting for justice unless we forgive. I think it's just too easy for us to confuse justice and vengeance. You know, I think justice says, I want what's right. Vengeance says, I want them to hurt. Justice trusts God. Vengeance insists on being God, right? So I think I can make this argument that unless you forgive first, you never really know whether you're seeking justice or vengeance. And, you know, Jesus, the New Testament says that when he was reviled, he did not revile. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly or judges righteously. I think part of the reason that we struggle there is because we lack identification. So where the king identified with the satrap last week, the satrap refuses to identify with this one who owes him. The word there is splanknizomai, and it's from the guts, right? Modern medicine uses the term splanchnic circulation, right? The blood flow in the internal organs, or this is where our word for spleen comes from. It comes out of this root. And so a lot of times when we refuse to forgive, we avoid identification with the people who hurt us. But, you know, you can only hold a grudge against someone if you feel superior to them. And we talked about the quote from Miroslav Volf, the Christian who lived through the brutal Yugoslav wars. He was a Croatian and now teaches extensively on forgiveness. He said this: forgiveness flounders because I exclude my enemy from the community of humans. I don't want to identify that my enemy and I are the same, right? That we're in the same spiritual position. He says, and I exclude myself from the community of sinners. So just one practical step that we can all take would be to stop rehearsing the offense. And when that comes to mind, we can just say, okay, Lord Jesus, you carried a much heavier weight than this. You know, from the cross, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And I think that's hard for us. I admitted for me that I can think of the two or three times where I was hurt the most in my life. I had to forgive, but man, my feelings were slow to follow. Obedience walks and our feelings tend to crawl behind, right? Our feelings don't immediately follow our faith. But Jesus, man, whenever Jesus was talking in Luke chapter 5, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but the sick. And I think we all need to see ourselves as sick. Like, we are sinners who all need to repent. So before forgiving is something that you do practically, it's someone you meet personally. Jesus, who had every right to sit in judgment over us, rather he chose to sit under judgment, the judgment of God for us. He identified with us. And so I wanted us to take the time today just to pray that into our day and our week, and then I'll give you the opportunity to pray. Father, we are so grateful for your grace and your forgiveness, and we run to that again today. We ask, God, that you would remind us of the love that you've given to us, and that would humble us. And God, as we start to transition in this series towards the practical realities of forgiveness, first, we need to meet you. And once we meet you personally, then we can start taking care of the how-tos of forgiveness practically. So we are grateful today for your grace and your mercy. Will you make it evident to others? Now you take the opportunity to pray.